Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining me on Ask Margot Today. I'm Margot de Coatsworth. We have some great questions that we're going to find perfect answers for today. And by way of my intro about who I am, why I'm here, and what I do, I'd like to read you something I'd written in an old notebook I found recently. It must be a couple of years old anyway. It's called My Top 10. I guess you could call these life tips. Number one is never give up on your dream. Stick to it like glue. Defend it like your life depends on it. Number two, sort all the time. Stop, look at and into yourself and your life and ditch all that does not serve you. I know that sometimes that seems easier said than done, but the lightness of being that you can achieve by getting rid of what doesn't serve you is worth it. Number three, see the good and best in everything that happens to you. This is the way to stay buoyant, to keep you from sinking under, and it will keep you sometimes from despair. It will keep you focused on more of what you want, which is what we're all about. Number four, keep educating yourself. Make learning a daily endeavor, even if it's just listening to a YouTube video or a podcast on a subject you want more competence in or information about. Number five, choose the story you want for yourself. Tell only that story. Tell it incessantly and consistently to yourself all the time. Never publicly undo your story, speaking the opposite to others. Better to stay silent and tell only yourself what you want until your story begins to take shape in reality. Number six, seriously guard what's important to you. The quality of your speech, the company you keep, the dreams you hold, your time, and what you consider worthy of your attention. Number seven, give. Just give a lot of everything all the time. Give support, encouragement, money, a flower, produce, two muffins. I dropped two muffins off on the way here. A card of appreciation. Always be giving because it creates flow and it's essential for flow into your life for you to let flow go out. Don't be selfish, just give. Number eight, forgive and send love to everyone and everything, especially yourself. Acknowledge anything or anyone that bothers you, then say the words, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. That's a whole philosophy. It's a Hawaiian technique called Ho'oponopono. If you forgive, the effects will act like positive in your life. If you don't forgive, the effects will act like a boomerang and manifest in your life later. Or as a friend of mine used to say, it'll come out in your face later. Number nine, read. Not just for entertainment, that too, but to expand your mind, your knowledge and your understanding. Reading powers you up. We're on this planet together and we'll always be seeking for more understanding, for answers and for clarity. One person doesn't and can't know it all. And reading enables us to share our insight with each other. People who have already left this planet have so much to teach us. Reading gives us access to that. I'm so enamored by the joy of reading that I'm planning a reading retreat where a whole weekend is devoted to this. Interestingly, when I found this list, I couldn't find a number 10, but it was clear to me what that ought to be. Number 10 has got to be persist in what you want. We ask what we want of the universe or of life, but we don't have the big picture. It's just a fact that we can't see everyone doing everything all the time, everywhere, and know what's best for everything. It's been hard for me to accept that as I never want to take the cop-out option. But it's true that we can't know everything, so we have to have some faith. You can put that into whatever context you like, but you have to learn to persist in what you want, even if you don't see it showing up yet. Now we'll move to our first question, and it's how to manifest part two, because I talked about it last episode. This question is one I'd mentioned about someone who's stuck with getting what they want. It's Fiona. Hi, Fiona. Try the absolutely certain technique. Adopt it and say, I am absolutely certain that I can, and then add whatever it is you're after. If you play with this concept, you'll find the more you say that to yourself, the more you'll accept it. I've often talked about the words I am and how powerful they are because they identify how we see ourselves, how we think. So we might say, I'm great, thank you. I'm happy, thank you. I'm in control. I'm calm. I am full of beans. We're identifying ourselves by the words we use after we say, I am. I was recently listening to something that went one step further. I've adopted it. It is the I am absolutely certain in them what you want. So you're taking it even further than saying I am. Making your statements of belief, declaration, affirmation, telling yourself and the universe what you want by saying I am absolutely certain I am. For example, I'm absolutely certain I'm in a happy, loving relationship. I'm absolutely certain I'm going to receive a promotion at work. I'm absolutely certain this legal difficulty will resolve itself perfectly. There's an energy around saying those words, and you can feel it elevate your focus on your desired thing. I did this myself and just rolled out things I'd like, and I could feel myself energized by it. And I was smiling. I wasn't trying to smile. It just happened. So do this with whatever it is that's on your mind and heart. And instead of saying, I'm happy or I'm content, just say, I'm absolutely certain. I'd love to hear from anybody who tries this and finds it changes their state and that it works for them. Also, when you change your state, you change your energetic resonance. You change what you're attracting and what's pulled towards you, what you magnetize. In the same way as we repel people who don't make us feel good, what if we repel things that don't make us feel good? So, I've just made that up, but seriously think about it. Things, people, what's the difference? We attract what we resonate with. I know it can be a challenge when you're not certain to start with, so start with something you can believe. I'm absolutely certain I'm going to find the perfect person for me. I'm absolutely certain I'm going to find the perfect job. I am absolutely certain the next step I should take will become clear to me. I think that's a big one for people. Here's something to ponder. Detach like it's a done deal. Smile like it's already yours, because certainty makes for reality. I want you to consider a few things, Fiona. In our conversation, I realize that you've not yet let go of the past. You said you're happy to forgive, but you're still holding on to something you haven't really forgiven. You'll know when you're there because you'll stop talking about it. At the moment, you're still blaming your present on your past. You can't keep doing the same things and expect a different result. You have to change that blame thing that's sitting on you. The other thing is that you have to stop talking about what's wrong now, why you haven't been able to achieve success, why things don't work out for you, why they probably won't work out for you. You must banish words that you don't want to identify with. You must tell yourself a better story all the time, without deviation. You must say, I'm absolutely certain I'm designed to be a happy, free, loving and loved person. Choose the story you want to make and Repeat it all the time. When anything comes up that suggests anything less, give that the flick and trot out your phrase. Say, no, because I'm absolutely certain I'm designed to be happy, free, loving and loved. That's just who I am. If you think about it, nobody except us has the right or the privilege to decide what kind of take we're going to have on our lives, what our perspective is, what our expectations are. Only we choose that. All kinds of stuff can go on around us, come at us, people undermining, challenging, questioning, not believing in us. So what? So what? Don't be influenced by that. They don't know you like you know you. They don't know your heart's desire, your dreams or aspirations. You know. You choose you. And if someone challenges you and looks like they're going to undermine what you're about, then just say to them, you do you and I'll do me. And then leave their space. You're in charge of your life. You're the boss. You decide, you choose, and you are the one to get your stuff to show up. I guarantee, Fiona, if you do this, you will see a change for good in your life. Our next question today is a little bit like the first one. It comes from Freya, and she has felt depressed for as long as she can remember. Her words actually are that she suffers from depression. I suffer from are words that have to go. Freya has done some investigative work and knows that the root cause of her depression and panic attacks is the lack of love and care in her childhood from her father. She's tried to forgive him. She wants to forgive him, but she does continually refer to her unmet needs for love and appreciation as a child, and this has impacted her whole life. She says she's working on it and that it's a process and a journey. She's not the only person who's told me that, as they feel that as it took many years to establish something, it's going to take the same length of time to undo it. I don't agree with that. That is the process and the journey quote that I hear, that people think it's going to take years. All it does is suck the life out of you. Who told us that we had to believe that something that took years to build would take years to demolish? That's nonsense. Look at dynamite. Seriously, though, what if that's wrong? And my experience is that it's totally erroneous. My training is in RTT, which is Rapid Transformational Therapy. This therapy takes people directly to the root subconscious cause for whatever issue they are dealing with. And that can change in a moment, in a flash of revelation. The thing with anything we want help with, though, and we go to therapy or counseling for, you can have an aha moment and understand how your issue came to be. You can be shown how to unravel it, but that alone will not fix it if you walk away from that understanding and change nothing afterwards. That's when you must then step in and tell yourself your new story, the one you want, because you cannot want a good thing and talk about the opposite. That will take you nowhere. It will change nothing. A negative nullifies a positive. If you feel you want it, but you speak as though you don't believe it, you will not have it. It's said that we don't get what we want. We get what we believe. Freya, the first thing you must do is to set your father free, for your own sake primarily. Even if you find it difficult to believe them, say the words, I release you and myself from the unwanted past and any unmet needs. I release you from any power you once had over me. Every time then that a cloud from the past pops up like a fire waiting to be ignited, you just pour this balm on it and it will put that fire out and take away its hold over you. I release you and myself from the unwanted past and any unmet needs. Then you go further and replace that with a power statement for you. I'm absolutely certain that happiness is my birthright, and I experience it fully every day. Remember, no one but you can make you happy. You are the center of the universe for happiness in your life. The next thing is your chit-chat. To yourself and to others, you must no longer say, I suffer from depression. No matter how wobbly you feel, you must declare, I'm a happy person, living a happy life. I'm designed for happiness. I'm a magnet for happiness. I'm absolutely certain I will live happily ever after. That must be your mantra. Don't look outside of yourself. Don't look at circumstances. Don't look at the negative. Make yourself find the opposite and make that thing the one you focus on and talk about. Make it the only thing you speak of. If you forget, stop yourself short and correct yourself. Say, oops, I meant to say, dot, dot, dot. It's kind of like the principle that when you are smiling, you can't be grumpy. And when you are laughing, you can't be sad. When you are telling yourself you're happy, you can't be at the same time telling yourself that you're not. I'm in no way underestimating the awfulness of depression and the prevalence of it. And you may feel it's very established in you. You may feel that's how you identify yourself even. Well, that's going to change. You must persist in taking back the ground you've lost to it. Take it back daily because you're worth it. You can do it, Freya. Our next question is a bit more lightweight. Fred is going on a date. Fred has a question. It's about how to create the perfect date. There's a woman he's asked out and he wants to get it right. Oh, what fun, Fred. I've done some research, but frankly, I think there'll be quite a bit of interjection on my part, possibly with a bit of attitude. Let's see if we can give you the perfect answer to make the perfect date. A perfect date isn't just about what you do. It's about how you make her feel. It's always about how you make her feel. I had a friend who was married once to a good-looking man. She thought he was good-looking and he thought he was good-looking. Later, she began to date a man who was not so good-looking, and she was asked why. She simply said, it's not about how they look, it's about how they make you feel. Touché. Perhaps that explains couples who don't appear to be a match physically. The first thing to do, Fred, is to plan with thoughtfulness. Choose something she'd enjoy based on her interest. Do not take her car racing if she's not interested. A personalized date shows care and effort on your part. Make reservations. If you're going somewhere special, book in advance. You make the decision, but base it on her preferences, not yours. Dress well. Put some effort into your appearance. Grooming is all. I know we live in a casual age, but really make an effort. It shows you think she's special and worth the effort. If you show up looking like you've been working on your car all afternoon, it serves you right if you don't get a second date. A word of warning here, girls. If the boy doesn't dress up of his own accord, you will have a future of him not self-motivating in terms of dressing up. Some boys think it doesn't matter, but if you asked a girl, would she rather go out with a rough-looking bod or a well-groomed one? I've just showered and shaved. Guess which one she'd choose. Set the mood. If it's a home date, create an inviting atmosphere with lighting, music, and a clean space. You can't really go wrong with champagne. That's purely personal preference, though. It smacks of special. Personally, I don't think a home date is a first date because that's what happens on a daily basis. Get dressed up and go out. It's nice to cook for someone, but I don't think it's a first date option. You'll need to show who you can cook a meal for her, but do that next time. Let me know if you need help with that. During the date, be present. Put your phone away and give her your full attention. Listening is the key. If you look at your phone obsessively, you don't deserve to be on a date of any kind, let alone a good one. You may look when she leaves to powder her nose, but not while she can see you. Compliment her genuinely. notice and mention something specific, like her laugh, her style, how she sees the world. Say you look lovely when you see her. Those are magic words. If it seems foreign for you to say, I think you have to get over that and start practicing. Think like an Italian. Balance the conversation. By all means, share about yourself, but also ask open-ended questions to keep her engaged. Never, ever talk about past girlfriends or your mother. Just don't do it. Don't dominate the conversation and don't make it all about you. Make it about her. Be humble. She will not want to hear how clever, good-looking, wealthy, smart, powerful, or talented you are. This is your opportunity to let her shine. At the end of the date, end on a high note. Drive or walk her to her car or home. Leave her interested to know more. Open the car door. Get around and open the door for her when you pick her up and when you drop her off. And I'm an old-fashioned girl. If you are asking her on a date, you pay. Number 10, the last one. Follow up thoughtfully. A simple message to say how much you enjoyed her company and your time together. This should happen the next day, not 3 days later or a week or more, the next morning. One more thing I'm going to slot in here. If you plan to pounce on her for some horizontal activity, then perhaps that's more of a one-night stand rather than a date, and I'm sorry, I can't help you with advice for that. I did see a great quote once, which I've always loved. It said, "Wanted, one-night stand, or maybe two, as I have two lamps." But back to the end of the date. If there is romance in the air for both of you and you feel a kiss is appropriate, you know the movie Hitch had advice for this. The idea is not to go and grab her or take her by surprise. It's reading the room first, so to speak, and then leaning in 90% of the way. She then is going to meet you by moving the other 10%. If she doesn't or looks like she doesn't want to, then you will be able to recover more easily from that than if you actually went in and helped yourself to a kiss that she didn't want. It's tough being a man sometimes, I imagine, and I do think women need to be kind and gentle and also clear about showing their interest or not. I'm excited for you, Fred. I think you'll have a fabulous first date. Our last question today comes from Faye. She wanted to talk to me about handling someone who she says is belittling her. What should she do? Hi, Faye. You don't say what your relationship is with this person, and there are two kinds of people in our lives. One is someone you can dismiss from your own life, and the other one is ones that you can't so easily, such as a family member. Let's start with the ones that you have the privilege of deciding whether or not you'll have in your life. When someone says something belittling to you, you must look them in the eye and say, "I beg your pardon," or "Could you repeat that?" That will put them on the spot and put a spotlight on them and their tacky behaviour. Then you should say, "Why did you say that?" or "What did you mean by that?" Make them front up. If you can keep pushing, you could be bold and say, "It sounds like you're trying to belittle me, are you? And why would you be trying to do that?" Make them accountable. They will respond in one of two ways. One is to backtrack and maybe apologise even. The other is that they will want to pick a fight, and that's your cue to leave. You could just say, "I have a good friend I'm going to see now," or "I'm off to see someone who actually likes me. You have a good day." If it keeps happening, that's your signal to leave that friendship because it's not supporting and encouraging, and you don't need it. A friend's job is to be positive and on your team. It's their mission to make you feel good most of the time. Call them on it if they don't, and then if they continue in that behaviour, fire them. Except you can't fire a family member. I've tried it, it doesn't work. They keep coming back. I'm joking there, but another approach is required. Sometimes I will somebody, well, I say sometimes, I've done it once, and say, "You may think what you like, but I'll thank you never to speak to me like that again." That actually worked. Then, if you're really on a roll, you could say, "I'd be happy to accept your apologies as soon as you're ready." you know where to find me. I'm trying to keep it a little bit light here, but you're getting your message across. They may or may not apologise, of course. But if they look like they're about to go in boots and all on the belittling bandwagon, then you can stop and say, do you remember what I said? I don't think you want to say that. I know that all sounds quite cocky, but I'd like to see myself front up a bit more in situations like that, and I truly believe we shouldn't accept people putting us down. If you think someone's going to kick back, you can withdraw from them by not initiating further contact. Just let them drift out of your sphere, because it's something that they need to deal with, really. And I hope that helps, Faye. Sometimes when I've called people on bad behaviour, they'll say, oh, but I didn't feel great, or I was having a bad day, or I'm under pressure. Well, I don't care. That is not an excuse to drag others down. It's just not acceptable. Well, that's our last question for the day. Do send in any of your questions to me under the contact tab at margotunlimited.com, Margot with a T, or write to admin@coastaccessradio.org.nz, and we'll find a way forward for you. We have the word now, our message from the universe to finish on. This message is about all the elements that need to line up before we see our desires come to fruition. Here we go. In good order and perfect time, your plans will take form. You know it, you expect it, you feel it. In order for dominoes to work, they must be stacked up one after another, placed in their positions. So stack your dominoes, and when the first one goes, the rest will follow. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Margot Coatsworth, and this is Ask Margot.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.